Open your Bibles, please, to the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46 in your Scofield Bible, page 621. There are 11 verses. We'll read all the verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Psalm 46, page 621. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. The text verse for this morning's message is the very first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And let's finish on the 11th verse together. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's pray. And Father, we, of course, anticipate another great service. That's been the normal thing around here, is to have Sunday by Sunday great services evidenced by thy power and thy blessing, evidenced through productivity, souls saved, people blessed and helped. And we, of course, look forward to that kind of thing this morning. So we pray for thy presence. Once again, we pray for thy power. Once again, we pray for thy help and strength and blessing for our preacher and through our preacher. And help us each to give carefulness and attention to the Word of God as it's preached. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a verse I keep in my briefcase. It's written down in my briefcase. It's always there. And every day I go through my briefcase, and every day I read that verse. Never, never miss these words. God is a very present help in trouble. Every day, that's in my little card in my briefcase, little 3x5 card. God is a very present help in trouble. I've chosen this morning to speak to you on that subject. A very present help. I trust that you'll listen carefully. Our Heavenly Father, I don't know a better statement than I just quoted. God is a very present help in trouble. What a comfort. I pray this morning that you'd use it to comfort our people in a special way. Speak to us in these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. The psalm was written and used concerning the crossing of the Red Sea. A basic statement is made. Statement, God, help, and trouble. That's it. God, help, and trouble. However, there are some words that pinpoint this God, help, and trouble. A very present help. God is. That's the present tense. God is. But then he adds another present tense. God is a present. That seems needless, doesn't it? If God is a help, God is a present help. But then he adds something else. God is a very present help. And I'm not sure if that's good English, Miss Colston, or no, but it doesn't sound like a very present help. But what God is saying is this: I am a help. But that isn't all. I want you to know I'm going to underline that am again. I am a present help. But in case you don't know I am a present help, I'm going to say this: I am a very present help. Now, this verse, I want you to notice three things about the verse. One is the word is, and the second the word present, and the third the word very. Three different statements of a present tense. God is a help in trouble. God is a present help in trouble. God is a very present help in trouble. Now, why were there three statements used? May I tell you exactly why? The Israelites sang this psalm as they came toward the Red Sea. They saw that Red Sea as they were approaching it. Can you imagine how they felt? Behind them were the armies of Egypt, and in front of them was that mighty Red Sea. What will we do? The same thing you always do. When there's trouble in the rear and there's trouble in front, you always take off to the front. That's what, always go forward. Just keep on going forward. And so they kept on going, but they were afraid. What will happen when we get that Red Sea? What will happen? Will we drown? Or will we be killed before we get there? And God said, no, I'm a help before you get to that Red Sea. As you're looking toward trouble, I'm a help. Then God said, I am not only a help when you're looking toward trouble, but when you're in the midst of trouble, I am a help. He said, right in the middle of that Red Sea, I'll be a help. And so they're saying, God is a help as we look toward the Red Sea, and God is a help while we're in the Red Sea. And then they got on the other side of the Red Sea. They were away from home. They had nothing but a wilderness. They had no shopping centers. They had no stores. They had no houses. They had no cars. They had no place to live. They had no beds. 3.5 million people with nothing at all. And they said, now we still got trouble. Our trouble's not over yet. And so what God is saying here, He's saying, I am with you before the trouble while you're looking forward to the storm. And I am with you in the middle of the storm. And I am with you when you pick up the debris at the end of the storm also. Now, what He's saying is, I will be there when you get there. I am here while you're there. And I was here while you were there. And I am still here while you were here. That doesn't make sense, does it? You understand that? It's a good outline. God says, as you are looking forward, I want to call your attention. But actually, He's saying, I will be there, I am here, and I was here. And what He's saying also, coming to the Red Sea, I'm with you. And some of you this morning, you're coming to the Red Sea. There's something before you, and you dread it. And some of you are right in the middle of the storm right now. And you dread it now, and you're afraid now. But there are others of you that are the storm has already passed, and you don't know how to pick up the pieces. What God is saying is, I am always with you as you approach the Red Sea, as you're in the Red Sea, and as you pick up the pieces after you've crossed the Red Sea. Now, let me say this. First, He said, I am with you. I am here when trouble is on the way. Now, before the storm, you see it coming, and trouble's on the way. That may be the hardest time in a person's life. It may be that waiting for the battle is harder than the battle. It may be when you know something is coming that's going to be a battle, that it's harder than the battle itself. And what God is saying to some of you this morning, you see the battle approaching, or the burden, or the Red Sea approaching. You see old age coming. I expect I will one of these days if I live long enough. And you see old age coming, and you dread old age. God said, look, I'm going to be there, and you get there. I'm going to be there. Don't you worry about that. But you see mandatory retirement coming, and you don't know if you can live on your pension. And you don't know how you got. And God said, look, quit worrying. I'm going to be there, and you get there. And listen, God's already where you're going. He's already there. And that's what He's saying here. He's saying, I am a very present. I'm glad He's the I am God. Here is the I will be God. I was God. I used to be God. I'm going to be God. He's the I am God. I am the way. Not will be the way. Not could be the way. Not was the way. I am the way. I am the truth. Not will be the truth. Was the truth. I am the truth. God is an ever-present God. And He's a very present help in trouble, the Bible said. You see terminal illness. And you have cancer in your body now. And unless God performs a miracle, you're not going to be here
very long, and you see the Red Sea on its way. Let me tell you, folks, God's going to be there when you get there. I've said so often, my little mother feared death. I don't think I've ever known anybody feared death like my mother. She wouldn't talk about death. All those years, she wouldn't talk about death. But you never saw anybody die a more beautiful death in your life. I said to my class this morning, every time my mother, anybody come to see my mother in the last few weeks of her life, she made you sing, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. I'm simply saying, I don't, if the storm is approaching, it's on its way, maybe some crippling illness. We have folks this morning who have muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis, and if the normal happens, in front of you comes a storm, a crippling illness. Well, I've got good news for you. Our God's going to be there when you get in that wheelchair. And our God's going to be there when you can't walk anymore. Our God is and is God. He is our God. He is a present God and a present help and a very present help in time of trouble. Pastor School of 89. I went to my study after I'd driven around a while after the school was over on Friday afternoon. Had a big stack of mail that high I saw on my desk. Second letter I opened let me know that a storm was going to come. Second letter I opened told me of a storm that was going to come. And for 6 weeks, I lived waiting for that storm. I dreaded to see the storm coming. I knew it was on the way. I knew I couldn't stop it. I knew it was coming. But I want to serve notice to you that my God was helping me all the time while that storm was on the way. For the last several months, I've known a storm was coming in my life. I've known it. I've known it was on the way. And there's no way I could stop it. Humanly speaking, I couldn't stop it. But I'd like to stand here and let you know that my God has been with me all the way. I'd like to let you know this morning you're facing old age. It's not so bad. I are there now. And it's not so bad. And I got good news for you. He's here. He's here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll not fear. Why? For thou art with me. As you approach the storm, God is with you. He's your help. He is a present help in time of trouble. And when you get there, He'll be there. Now I want to say this. Not only did He say God is a help in trouble, but God is a present help in trouble. What does that mean? That means during the storm, God is your help also. By the way, what more do you need? Hey, it doesn't say God is your help when you're not in trouble, though He is, but God is a special help when you're in trouble. You get to know Him in a special way while you're in trouble, while you're in the storm. Is the storm raging for you right now? Is there a heartache in your life? Has a daughter gotten pregnant and she's not married? She's your daughter. Has a son gone off with a hippie gang? Or is he on dope? Or is he peddling dope? Or is there a financial crisis in your life? Or are you going through right now an awful illness and you wonder if you'll get out from under it? Or are you facing a heartache or a burden? Has your husband left you for another woman? Or has your husband died in an empty place across the table and beside you in the bed? God simply says, I want you to know if you are in the storm, I'm there. And God said to these Israelites, when you get to that Red Sea, I'll bind you, I'll be there. Now they said, what will you do? God said, didn't say what I'd do, but I'll do. I'll do. Well, how are we going to get across? God didn't say. God didn't tell you how you're going to get across. I'm just going to tell you. You keep on going. You keep on going. Don't turn back. Now, if they'd have said, "Well, I just can't go any farther," they wouldn't have seen the Red Sea part. If they'd have said, "I'm going to go back to Egypt," they wouldn't have seen the Red Sea part. Just keep on going. Just keep on serving. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on witnessing. Just keep on loving. Just keep on helping. Just keep on doing. Just keep on working. Just keep on marching. Just keep on going forward. And God said, I'll be there when you get there. I'll meet you there. And so God said to them, He said, now, as you're facing the Red Sea, and as you look toward it, and you know it's coming, and there's nothing you can do about it, God said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Those of you right now, you're facing a layoff. God said, I'm with you right now as you face it. Those of you that are facing death, God said, I'm with you right now. I'm with you as you have that illness in your body. I'm with you. God said to Charlene Newton when Ray Newton found out he had cancer. God was with her during all those days of waiting for the storm. She knew hope against hope, only a miracle could keep Ray alive. And then when the time came when Ray went to heaven and she sat here in this auditorium, God said, Charlene, I am with you now. And when he was gone to heaven, she said, I am with you as you pick up the pieces in your life. I am a very present help. Now he said, number three, I am with you as you march toward the storm. I am with you in the eye of the storm. And number three, I'll be with you after the storm is over. When you pick up the pieces, when you gather up the debris, when you're rebuilding your life, the funeral's over. The family that has come from all of America has gone back home now. And the flowers are faded. And you return home to face reality by yourself. And the picture's on the mantle. And there's nobody anymore to put their arms around you and say, I love you. No, they've gone home. They've had to go back home. They've got to go back to work. And you walk back in that empty house by yourself. God said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I am with you. When the divorce is over, you wanted to have a happy marriage. You wanted to have a happy home. But something came into your life that you had nothing to do with. And all of a sudden, your marriage was gone and you realized that you went back home. There was no loving husband there or loving wife there. And you realize that you had to face life alone. And you had to pick up the pieces. God says, I'm with you. The heartbreak is over. I mean, nothing you can do about it. Your daughter has given birth to a baby outside wedlock, and it happens every year, dozens of times in a church this size, and you don't know what to do. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, for 31 years as pastor of this great church, I've been telling you, we have a wonderful God, and that God loves you, and that God is with you before the storm, during the storm, and praise God, after the storm, that God is with you. But we come to the time your dreams are gone. You had so many dreams. And those dreams are shattered. Those hopes have been splattered on the pavement of providence. And all of a sudden you have to face life with the reality that those dreams will never come true. God said, I'm here. I'm here. Your plans have gone awry. Didn't work out like you thought it'd work out. God said, I'm here. I'm here. I'm always here. I'm here before the storm as you wait for it to come. I'm here during the storm as you're going through it. And I'm here at the end of the storm when it's all over and you've got to pick up the pieces. I'm here. And I'm talking this morning to three groups of people in this room. Everybody in this room who's 18 years of age or older is in one of these groups. Either you are headed for a storm and you dread it. Or you are in the storm and you don't know how you're going to take it. Or the storm has just ended and you don't know how to pick up your pieces in life. I've got news for you. Our wonderful God is with you. If you're facing the storm and you wake up in the morning and say, I don't know when it's going to come or how many more days will it be. And I don't know if I can face it when it gets here or not. Let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. He's there and you can face it when you get there. And then when you come to that place when the storm is raging, you cannot see your hand in front of your eyes or in front of your face. I want to tell you that our God says, I'm still here. And when that storm is over and some have forsaken you and some have followed you, our God is still there. Whether you're going through it right now, or whether you're going to go through it soon, or you just went through it, or in some cases, all three. There are folks here this morning who are facing a storm ahead of you, and you're in a storm right now, and you just got through a storm also. The same time. And that's why God puts it in three places. The same tense. God said, it may be that some of you have just gotten through with a heartache or a storm, and some of you are looking forward to one that's on the way, and yet while you're getting through with one and looking to another, you're in one right now. God said, I don't care what's wrong. I am your God. I love you, and I am with you everywhere you are. What more could you want? Forgive me for being vain for a few minutes, but I feel I must. 31 years ago, last Sunday morning, I stood at the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, a church that I'd seen from grow from infancy to be one of the big churches in our part of the country. And I preached my last sermon. My folks did not know it was the last sermon. because they thought I was coming back Sunday night. But I could not go back Sunday night. I could not say goodbye. I drove around all night the night before. Never slept a wink. I stopped in front of every house of every member we had in that church. And I stood out in front of their house, while they were sleeping, and I prayed for God to bless them, and I heard on the inside. They came back on Sunday night to hear me say goodbye and preach my last sermon. Mrs. Hiles and I and our three children, we were gone. They came back to tell us goodbye, and we were on our way to Chicago or Hammond. I stopped at the city limit sign outside Garland, Texas. I got out of the car and knelt there and made an altar out of that city limit sign and looked back at that little city, and I said, "Dear God, I've given the best I have. Those knuckles right there have knocked on every door in that town of 27,000 people. Not a door in this town these knuckles haven't knocked on trying to present the gospel of Christ." We got in the car and we went to church in Oklahoma, Ardmore, Oklahoma. Came on up to Hammond, and on Tuesday night we spent the night in Peoria. Wednesday night went to church in Joliet, it was. But church in Joliet, and Thursday we came on to Hammond and came out to our parsonage. It was brand new. In fact, they don't even think the carpet had been laid at the time. It was just finishing being built. And I was 32. Becky was 7. Dave was 5. Linda was 1. And Cindy was on her way. We walked in the first Sunday morning to pastor this church 31 years ago this morning. Almost half of my life ago. From 63. 31 of those years I've been at this church, and 32 years I've been away. That morning, the church was very formal. They had a pipe organ right behind me in the old building over there. Pipe organ's one that's got all those mufflers behind you up here in the top, you know. And they didn't have a piano. Wouldn't allow a piano in those days on Sunday morning, just an organ. Wouldn't allow a congregational song leader. The organist, pipe organist, led the congregation. She'd hit that big thing real loud. We'd all stand up and we'd sing. We'd sing the sevenfold Amen, chant the Lord's Prayer. We sang the first song. Ms. Hiles had warned me, "Now look, you know how you are, Jack. You know how you are." She said, "Now look, this is a formal church. Don't embarrass us the first Sunday." Boy, I was all ready. Walked in the door over here, not at this place, but the same place in the auditorium. There's a man there who had a boutonniere. I didn't know what a boutonniere was. I thought it was a kick in the side of the head. But anyway, he put that boutonniere on me. And I moved over like that, and he put that boutonniere on somebody else. We walked out, took the boutonnieres off, used them for next Sunday. They're artificial boutonnieres. I walked in. Congregation sang the first song. I had noticed at the bottom of some songs it has an amen down there at the end of it, or an amen at the end of it. But I didn't know anybody ever did that. We sang a song of the church, formal song. I stood to make the announcements and greet the people. And while I did it, the people were singing, "Amen." Oh, I made a fool of myself. No, I hadn't. I'd revealed I was a fool already. And oh, my soul. And Ms. Howell slumped down in her seat back there. And best she could. She was about 6 months along. But anyway, she slumped down in her seat back there and shook her head. And I embarrassed her. And I went over and I said to myself, "These folks think I'm a hillbilly. I'm going to show them how cultured I really am. Because the next time I'm going to sing that amen at the end of that song, and I'm going to lead the amen, let them know I know what I'm talking about." But the organist did some thinking also. She said, "I guess this new preacher doesn't want the amens at the end of the song." So I stepped up, and as she stopped playing totally, I sang my first solo at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Amen. And my wife went to see a lawyer. We didn't know anything. When somebody said, "Brother Howells, I'll meet you in the logie."
I know what a load you was. I went to every room in this building trying to find word L-O-G-I, load G. I know what a load you was. Load G was a vestibule. I said, well, why didn't you say vestibule? Well, it was load you, and I know what load you was. We went over here down here to Paul's drive-in restaurant, and the little lady came out to take her order. In those days, you had drive-in. She came out to take her order, and I said, give me two hamburgers and cut the onions. Now, in Texas, that means no onions on a hamburger. And I said, two hamburgers and cut the onions. She brought those hamburgers back, and the onions were cut up in little pieces about the size of rice. Looked like a helping of rice. And I said, ma'am, I asked you to cut the onions. She said, mister, we can't cut them no better than that, no smaller than that. Poor, ignorant people. I've got to educate these folks before I can get the gospel to them. I've got to teach them culture and refinement. And the battle came. Oh, my soul, did the battle ever come. It just seems that's the story of my life. But the battle came. And, oh, we went through it. Good night, we went through it. And so Jim Lyons was my associate pastor. He came with me from Texas about 6 weeks after I came. And we had a fellow named Ken Chandlin was our music director back in those days. And I got a call one day, and the fellow said, I'm coming to see you. He weighed about 400 pounds. And Jim Lyons said to me, preacher, you better carry a gun. I thought, oh, my soul, Jim, he scared me to death. He said, preacher, you better carry a gun everywhere you go. I said, why? He said, preacher, these folks, some of these folks around here will kill you. They hate you that much. And so I got scared. And he said, this guy's going to come to see you. You better have a gun in your office. I said, Jim, I don't own a gun. Have you got one? He said, preacher, I don't have one. I said, Ken, do you have a gun? He said, I don't have one. I said, try to find me a gun before that guy gets here. He's on the way now. And Ken said, I've got a policeman's club, billy club. We used to call them billy clubs. I said, bring it in my office. I said, we got to protect myself. This guy's going to come to kill me. Jim had worked me up into a dither. And so I sat down behind the desk. I put a Ken Chandler's chair over here. There was a big picture right there against the wall. And we put Ken's billy club up there behind that picture like that. And so Jim was sitting over here and put a chair right in the middle for this 400-pound man that was coming to kill me, you know. Actually, he didn't do anything. He just came to talk, but we didn't know what he was going to do. So we practiced it. And I said, look, if I reach like this for my pocket, I said, Jim, you scream over here. Hey! And I said, he'll look at you and, Ken, you get that club. And so I said, let's practice it. So here was this empty chair right in front of us. And here was Jim over here, and here was Ken over here, and there was the picture, and there was the billy club behind the picture. And we practiced. Hey! Jim hollered, hey! At first I reached for my pocket like that, and Jim went, hey! And Ken grabbed that gun, and the guy was supposed to look that way, and Ken whacked it over the head, you know. We practiced that thing for about an hour. We had it all down, boy. Sure enough, here the guy came. You know the guy. Here he came, sat right in front of me. Big guy, 400 pounds or more, sitting right there. He calls in trouble, and all of a sudden I began to laugh. I couldn't help it. I began to laugh. I thought, good night. I said, if I forget and reach for a piece of chewing gum or for some banaka and reach for my pocket, Jim will scream. Ken will grab that billy club. He'll kill that man right here. I've got to be careful and keep my hands above the table. I cannot reach my hands. Those were the days back yonder, folks. Those were the days. Honestly, every Sunday we thought it'd be our last. Every Sunday, sometime we wanted it to be our last. But now then, for these 31 years, we've been through a lot of storms together in these 31 years. Storms that I could not have made without you. I owe my ministry to the people in this room right here. Literally, I owe my life and my ministry to the people in this room. To our good deacons. To those people who have been with me all these years. And to those of you that have stood by me through thick and thin all these years. But I've learned a few things that I used to preach. When I came to pastor here, I preached the same thing I preach now. But I preached it because I heard it was true. Now, I know it's true. I know it's true. He is with you before the storm. How many times in these 31 years I've seen the storm coming? How many times I've gotten up in the morning in these 31 years like you have in your life, and I wished it was all a dream. But I had to face reality. It was not a dream. It was real. But I'd like to serve notice to you. He's been with me all the way. And then there have been storms in the midst of storms. You should have seen that battle we had. See, we're in battle now, but it's not within. The battle's around the country now and without people shooting at us. But, I mean, in those days, they were shooting at each other in this room. I used to say, come out and say, everybody shake hands, everybody, and tell you I love you. One Sunday I said, shake hands, everybody, and tell you I love you or I hate you, whichever way the case may be. We went through some storms in all these years. And yet He's always been there when the storm came. And then when the storm was over and the debris was covering the ground and the pieces were there to pick up and there were things that had to be reorganized and things that had to be changed, He was always there. Let me testify what a wonderful God we have. If I had 10,000 lives, I'd want to preach Him every life. If I had all my life to live over again, I'd want to go through every burden I've ever had. I'd want to carry every load I've ever carried and shed every tear I've ever shed. What a joy it's been for these 43 years, 31 of them behind this same pulpit right here, proclaimed the most wonderful book ever written about the most wonderful God and the only true and living God to tell the greatest story ever told. How fortunate I am. Now this morning, I can tell you, after 31 years, He's real. It works. It works. As you see your Red Sea approaching, you're getting up around 70 or 75 or 80. And you notice how those look or 90. And you understand that your Red Sea is approaching. Or as you see your hands begin to get crooked like that, all of a sudden it hurts when you shake hands or hurts when you write. Or you can't get up all the way or you limp when you walk. And you see the wheelchair approaching. Or as you see the Red Sea of your life approaching, God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Or if you are in the storm this morning, God says, I'm with you. May I close with this? I didn't intend to say it. I was in a distant state the other night. My voice was about gone. I don't know. Monday night I'd preach, my voice was fine. Tuesday morning I got up and I could barely whisper. It was a week ago last Tuesday. I was in a distant state. I frogged it through that morning and I dreaded preaching that night because I was afraid I just could not be understood. I dreaded getting up. But one of our members was there visiting in the area. A member with whom, through whom, and with whom I faced many a storm. Whose hand I've held, for whom I've prayed, and whose life I've watched as the storm was coming and through the storm and helped pick up the pieces after the storm. And that man happens to be able to sing. They asked him from the audience to come up and sing. And I was dreading preaching. Before he sang, he said a few words about the storm we shared together. And said a few words about the love he has for me. Before he got finished talking, I was ready to preach. And what a wonderful service we had that night. Why? Because he and I have been through a lot of storms together as pastor and member. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. His grace has led us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. For He is a very present help in time of trouble. Trust Him today. Face tomorrow. Tomorrow's hard to face. He's facing it with you. Keep on going. If today the battle is raging, the grenades are shattering. And the guns are firing. And the bombs are dropping. And some are falling beside the wayside. Keep on going. He's there. And if today you don't know how you're going to face tomorrow, the battle's over. The flowers are still not even dry or wilted on the grave. Or the little shoe is still being bronzed and not yet is on the mantle. Or the insurance papers have not yet been filled out. And you're picking up the pieces after the battle. He's there. He's always there. Hallelujah. Praise His name. He's always there. Our Heavenly Father, I love You today.